heard a story about five guys who started out in a small plane in Atlanta flying up to New York, and they had to fly over the Appalachian Mountains. And in the process of flying over this desolate piece of property, their engines stopped and the pilot couldn't get them started again. And so he said, "You guys, I'm sorry, we're going down." And with that, he grabs a parachute and jumps out. That leaves four guys and three parachutes. And so the next guy says, "Hey, I have five young kids at home. And you know what? I got to make it." He grabs a parachute and jumps out. That leaves three guys and two parachutes. And so one guy grabs it and says, "You know what? I'm going to New York to receive a reward as one of the most intelligent men in the world, because of some of the breakthroughs I've had, and I've got to survive." So he takes a parachute. He jumps out. This leaves two guys, one parachute. One guy is an 85-year-old retired minister. One guy is a young college student. The minister, 85 years old, looks at the college student and says, "Listen, I've lived a long life. I've had a great marriage. My wife is already in heaven. I'm ready to meet God, and you have your life all ahead of you. Take it and, you know, live." To which the young man says, "Well, Rev, it's not going to be necessary." He says, "Why not?" He said, "Well, the smartest man in the world just jumped out of this plane with my backpack strapped to his back." Have you ever wondered how really smart, stupid people show up in your life? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever looked around you and said, "Where are all the winners of the world?" Have you ever been on the hunt for a mate and you said, "Oh, my Lord, where are the men? There are none." Well, you are in for a treat today, because help is on the way. We're going to end this series that we started the year with, Inspire Greatness, with an idea that is infallible and irrefutable. And here it is. You attract what you are. If you have a bunch of losers hanging on to you, you are the grand poopah of losers yourself. If you want to attract different kind of people, you're going to have to become a different kind of person. Instead of trying to find Mrs. Right, start trying to be a man of character and be Mr. Right, and you will attract a Mrs. Right. You attract what you are. You don't attract what you would like to be. You attract what you are, or at least what you are becoming. Let me explain it this way. We all have people around us. People are essential. You cannot successfully live without living in a connectedness, a relationship with people. People will make you successful. You cannot become successful on your own. You're not smart enough, good enough, connected to. It's just simply impossible. It's not the way God created the world to work. He created us to live within relationship. Okay? So by that truth, you attract certain kinds of people. Let me use animals, so we can not offend too many people. Let's say, for example, if you attract ducks, guess what? You're a duck. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, guess what it is? It's a duck. You say, "Dave, what is a duck?" A duck is a... Have you ever seen ducks on a pond? The answer would be yes. Thank you. First service, that was a tough one for them. Have you ever seen ducks on a pond? They just look so quiet and tranquil, just kind of gliding. But if you could look underneath, what would you see? Just frothing up. I mean, they're just frothing up a foam, man. I mean, they're just working. Ducks are the kind of people on the outside kind of look good, but on the inside, they're full of trouble. Oh, yeah. Listen to what the scriptures say. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good. You let your kids hang around with the wrong kind of kids, they'll become the wrong kind of kids, period. You say, "Well, I don't, what can I do?" grow a brain. Be a man. Get a backbone. Look at your kids and say, I am your boss. I will tell you who you run with and who you don't run with. And if you don't like it, I'm not going to feed you no more. You want to be a duck? You'll attract ducks. And you'll just be people who are just kind of swimming around a pond. On the outside, they all look cool and smooth. On the inside, they're all torn up. You can attract parrots. If you have parrots around you, guess what? You're a parrot. You know what parrots are? Parrots are people who just repeat what they've heard. They just parrot back to everyone. Listen to this. Don't tell your secrets to a parrot. That's what the Hebrew word means. Unless you want them to broadcast it to the world. Telephone, telegraph, tell a friend. Right? Blabbermouths. That's what we used to call them in Kentucky. People who can't wait to hear your business so they can make it everybody else's business. Parrots. An evil man sows strife. Didn't say evil women because there are no such thing as evil women. The only evil women there have ever been of the evil women that men have corrupted. Surround me, protect me, get out your knives and guns. The men are coming. An evil man sows strife, gossip, and separates what? The best of friends. Have you ever wondered why you and the people in your life are always mad at each other? Always hacked off about something? Always trying to figure out how to get right with each other? You're a parrot. This is what you do. You gossip. You can't wait to separate people, because if I can get Bubba to like me more than Betty, then I win. So what I do is I cut down Betty to Bubba, failing to realize that Bubba is at least smart enough to know that if I will cut down Betty to Bubba, I will cut down Bubba to Betty. Listen to that backwards and it will make sense. Here's my point. If you're around people who are constantly stirring up and causing strife and gossip and you know what I'm saying? You are one. Or at least you're sending out the message that you're one. Here's another type of animal you might have met. I lovingly call them turkeys. Turkeys are people who know there's a Thanksgiving, but they've just never been to one. I thought that was pretty cute. There are two people who thought it was. This guy up here and this person down here. God bless you. I mean, these are people who are, these are the victims. You say, what is a turkey? A turkey is a victim. They're being shot. They've been shot. They're going to be shot. And all they want to do is tell you where they've been shot and who shot them. They don't want to go to the hospital. They don't want to get better. They just want to talk about their scars. How unfair life is, how unfair God is, how unfair their parents are. They want to go on Oprah. My kids go on Oprah and start criticizing me. I am going to go after them. Got a bunch of ducks? You're a duck. Got a bunch of parrots? You're a parrot. Got a bunch of turkeys? You're a turkey. But how about we as... Not all of us in this room are Christians, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm not trying, you're very welcome here. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, that we're attempting to follow Jesus, this is our passion, then we ought to be able to attract a different kind of person, because we have now been made in Christ a different kind of person. So let's just say that what we're trying to attract is eagles. People who kind of have the ability to, you know, to soar, the wind beneath their wings, the people who look to higher things, the people who have good eyesight. You know, an eagle from hundreds and hundreds of feet up in the air can see a small rodent, his meal, and target that and focus on it and fly down and, you know, you can attract eagles. You attract what you are. You want to have a better kind of life, you're going to have to attract a better kind of person. And the way you attract a better kind of person is to become a better kind of person yourself. You attract what you are. You want to attract something better? Be a different kind of person. You want a better marriage? Stop focusing on your wife and be a better kind of man. Ladies, you want a better kind of husband? Be a better kind of woman. Here's what happens in marriage. On the day of the marriage, which in America will cost you on average of $36,000 to $40,000 that you don't have. She comes in, she's got the dress on. You know the dress? The dress that she will wear for 45 minutes. Something got to be wrong with that. She comes in, she sees three things. She sees the aisle. Then she sees the altar. Then she sees him. And she says, I'll alter him. I'll alter him. I'll alter him. And that is the beginning of the descent into hell. Because you can't change him, can you, ladies? No, only God can change him. And guess what? You ain't much better. We all need a change. A change of heart, a change on the inside. And then that change becomes evident in what we are then becoming and helping each other to become. In about 11 days, I will celebrate 38 years of being married to my third grade girlfriend. A girl from Barron County. And we were out, and I just want to confess this. We were out dancing last night. Oh, yeah, we were. Sinning. But we prayed and repented, so if you die and repent before, I mean, if you dance and then repent before you die, you're okay. But if you dance and die on the way home, you go to hell. Straight to hell. Do not collect $200. You are done. So, you know, we're at this thing and we're supposed to dance, and we've taken some dancing lessons. Don't think we can't cut a little rug. But before I knew it, she had me by the hand. We're on the dance floor. This woman can shake her booty. She can dance. I'm like, yeah, this is good. 38 years. The woman can still move. Good investment. I'm sitting there looking at her. I'm thinking, there is no way in which a woman can save a man that she hasn't saved me. What would I be without her? Where would I be without the godly, good, generous men and women who God has sent into my life? I don't know. I don't want to think about it. Life is not a solo sport, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot follow Jesus as a lone ranger. It's impossible. That's why the purpose statement of the gathering is to help connect people to God and each other for the purpose of changing the world. It's as complicated as it gets. We try to specialize in God simple, not church complicated. Amen? Connect to God. And then your connection to God has to be reflected in the way you treat people, because people are why we're alive. So how do you then work out into real life the change that Christ has made in your life, if there has been a change? And if there hasn't been a change, then there can be when you go through a conversion experience with Jesus. How does this work out in practical? How do you attract egos in your life? So let me give you three undeniable principles. They will, if you work them, they will change your life. They certainly changed mine. Here they are. Number one, you have to become a practical model of what you say you are. If you say, one of the things that I hesitate, and a lot of us do, in calling ourselves Christians, because for a lot of people, Christian is a political term. or religious term. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I understand everything I know about God. I say that I am a follower of Jesus. I am a learner. I am a disciple. I try to humble myself before my God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and let him live his life in and through me. He wants to make me a model. What did the early Christians do? Look at this. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped what? Teaching and proclaiming. The early believers had the hearts of teachers. What do we think about teachers in our culture? Not very much. How do I know that? It's reflected in what we pay them. If we valued teachers, we'd pay them more. Who do we value? We value stars. People like whom we will never be. I admire Peyton Manning, but I have no hopes of ever becoming like him. There is 1 in 5 trillion people who have the kind of skills that certain musicians and certain athletes and the looks that certain people. I have a friend who's 64 years old who has perfect hair. I hate his guts. Perfect. It's not just good looking. It's always in place. And there's no hairspray on it. I've asked. And he wears clothes off the rack and it looks like a model. He can buy his clothes at Walmart. It looks like he stepped out of Brooks Brothers. I hate. Did I tell you? I hate. He is not a model of anything I ever want to be. This is what Paul said to the early believers. This guy who'd gone through this amazing transformation, a transformation so unbelievable that for over 5 years, other Christians wouldn't come near him because they were afraid that he was a fraud. He was the biggest antichrist that the world had ever known up until his conversion. This is what he says. He says, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. If I acted serious, I did it for you. The very first installment of this series was your passion is your power. Listen, you don't have to have the education, the connection, or the looks if you have passion. Passion makes a way. We want to be around passionate people. We admire passionate people. They're our models. They're our achievers. They're the people like whom we aspire to be. Paul says, I'm a passionate guy. Listen, Christ's love has motivated me, moved me to these extremes. His love, listen to this. His love has the first and the last word in everything we do. He says, the love of Jesus Christ is my ethic, my morality, and my strategy. That's a person worth imitating, isn't it? I mean, look at this. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. You need a Savior. If you die without a Savior, you will spend eternity separated from God, the very God that created you. That is a truth you must deal with. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I'm not going to take your word for it. One man died that puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrected life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Amen. Going down to the underlined section. Now, we look inside and what we see is that anyone united, connected with the Messiah gets what? He gets a fresh start and is created new. It's not just, okay, you have a fresh start, you better do better. It's, here's a fresh start, and by the way, here's a new heart to go with it. So now you become the kind of person you were created to become. You work the way the designer designed you to work. Your joy, your happiness, your effervescence, your passion flows from within. We could take everything away from you, and you would get it all back. You can't be defeated, ignored. You can only be criticized and opposed. Oh, we need models like that, don't we? You can be that kind of model. You can be that kind of person. All it takes is a connection with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all it takes and time. So what do we need? We need models. We have a lot of models. One of the greatest models of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is the woman to whom I'm married. Some of you don't have that luxury. One of the greatest models for me personally is a guy named R.C. Sproul. He's a theologian. He's one of the guys I've always really admired, and he's been a great model, writer. I've watched all of his stuff. I've listened to all his stuff. I've read all his books. He's one of my heroes. Okay? And for years, he was a model to me. But one day, I found out that I could actually study under him. And when that happened, I went to where he was, Jackson, Mississippi, and I walked in that seminary, and that day, my model became my mentor. And it was awesome. Life-changing, life-transforming in my life. So here's what we need. We need models. Now, you may never meet your model. I've told you about this before. It really bugs me. I don't know what to do about it. I get every week, I got a big package this week. I get like two a week from people all over the world who think I'm David Foster. Do I look like David Foster? No. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the real David Foster. The David Foster who, is worth something. And so they send me, my son is dying of cancer. Please sign him to a record deal. You know what I do with that stuff? I throw it away. You know why? Because I've gotten hundreds of them. Why people don't, if you're dying with cancer and you need David Foster to save you, you might ought to invest just a moment of your time to get the right one. Just an idea. Videotapes, CDs, song lyrics. Really? I met David Foster one time in California, and he came up to me and he said, "Are you David Foster?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you the David Foster that's giving me a bad name?" I said, "Hell no, you're the David Foster giving me a bad name." No hair in that story, by the way. A mentor is not some famous person out there. A model can be that. I'm a Lincolnite. I love Lincoln. Anything about Lincoln, I like to read. I'm a big Churchill fan. I love reading anything about reading one of the best books by one of my best writers in town, Stephen Mansfield, Never Give Up. And so you have a lot. Models can be out there. Paul was a model. David in the Old Testament is a model. Model the people who you can see and observe and learn from. But mentors, you know the difference between a mentor and a model? Distance. Sproul was a model for me of theological thought, but he became a mentor, and it was a powerful combination. Listen to this. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths about legends. There are a ton of Christians who have never read this verse. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually what? Fit. Bodily exercise is all right. But spiritual exercise is much more important, and it is a tonic. It is an elixir. It is a prescription for everything you do. So exercise yourself spiritually. Practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the life to come. Come on down to the other underlined part. Be their ideal. Let them follow the way you what? There again, there's the teacher's heart back again. I'm on a series, our Easter series is going to be how the series. And we're going to spend several weeks on just practical hows. And one of the things we're going to talk about is I'm going to teach you how to teach. One of the most transformative things I've ever done is become a teacher. You know why teaching is transformative? Is because as a teacher, you've got to work harder than everybody else. So you can have something to teach. Have you been around a teacher who's passionate, who's effervescent, who's inspiring. Do you understand how much hard work and labor they have put into that moment of that experience of being your mentor? It's when passion and truth are pushed through practice and personality. This is good stuff. Did you know this is good stuff? This is good stuff. When passion and truth get pushed through practice and personality, you have a mentor. Someone who's close, someone that walks with you, someone you... Who are you mentoring?
Well, I'm not mentoring nobody. That's your problem. That's your problem.
Well, as soon as I become successful, I'll be a mentor. No, you won't. You know why? Because when you become more successful than you are now, which you won't have any more time to mentor than you do now. Hello? Everyone in this room needs to be mentored and to be mentoring. This is the way of Christ. This is what he taught. What did they do? Temple courts, house to house, day by day, they taught, they loved, they were motivated to pour into the lives of others what others had poured in their life. Are you with me? Christianity is going to evaporate from this planet if we rely on preachers to get it done. One of the saddest days is when I woke up and realized that my preaching changes no one. That sucks. Gee whiz. You spend your whole life doing something people ignore. Some of you right now are not even here. Some of you are up there twittering. I hope your thumbs fall off. Some of you are texting. Oh, please meet me at the mall. There is some epic soft serve yogurt. We've got to see. When he shuts up, I'll be there. I hope your phone fries. God, that's a depressing thing to think that half of you aren't even listening. The other half are already mad, and the other half of you already checked out, and two or three are going, what is he talking about? Is mentoring like a French wine or something? I can't even read up here. This thing's too dark. What is 1 Tim 4:7-12 TLB? The Living Bible, turkey boy. You know where life change happens? Around coffee, around a salad, around the dinner table, around intimate gatherings. Amen? That's where you mentor each other. My only hope is that somehow I could stimulate something that today at lunch or at coffee or around a Super Bowl party or whatever, you say, you know what? You know, what's this whole thing about? I mean, do you have a mentor? Ever mentored anyone? Maybe you talk about these ideas and somehow you say you might, you know, want to start doing some of them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My life would not have been lived in vain. Wouldn't you hate to be my kids? Have to listen to me pontificate every Sunday of your life. Who are you mentoring? You say, well, I'm not mentoring anyone because no one has asked. That's the problem, isn't it? You know why nobody's asking you to mentor them? Is because your model's messed up. When you change your model, you will be in demand for mentoring. That's right. If you don't have a mentor, write this. This is good stuff. Write this down. This is how you get a mentor. This is a long word. It's going to be complicated. So just here it is. A. Write down A. S. Write down S. K. Write down K. What do you got? Ask. To get a mentor, you have to ask. Here's another thing, and I learned this in seminary. So I know it's not intuitive to you. I mean, I've been a seminary and I'm ordained. You're just ordinary people. So I understand that you don't know this stuff. I hope you know that I'm just kidding. Because if you think I'm serious, you think I'm a real jerk. In life, if you want more than what you have to ask. In life, you have to ask for what you want. Are you with me? Today at lunch, when the waiter or waitress comes up, they're going to stand there and they're going to say, "Give me your order." The problem is, some of you feel so rotten about yourself that you haven't ordered anything. Oh, God, just let me get by. Okay, then what you want? Okay, I'll give you a heap of health and of just get by. Oh, Lord, help my wife to quit nagging me. And then all of a sudden she shuts up. How's that working for you? Not very well. We have felt so bad so long. We have felt so distant from God that we have forgotten that one of the joys of our designer is to give to us the desires of our heart. Most of us don't even know what they are. We are so depressed and been down so long. No one has said to us, "Hey, you know what? You can be a model. You can be a model that inspires other people. You attract what you are." You want to be attract better class of person? Be a better class of model. Be a mentor to people, and you will attract other people that people want to mentor them. You start ascending, and here's the third principle. Hold your garter belt. Principle number three is the principle of motivation. Who are you a practical model for? Who are you a practicing mentor to? And who are you a principled motivator of? Now listen to this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Why? Because there will be a ton of people who try to knock your hope right off your head. They'll depress you to bring you down. Have you ever left a gathering of worship and you felt great until you met other people? Oh, this is just Sunday stuff. This is just church stuff. This ain't real. Yeah, it's real. The lie is what you've been believing. Let us hold unswerving of hope professed, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may, what? Spur. Anybody here ever watch Roy Rogers? Spur, trigger. A little metal things you wear on the back of the boots. And when trigger needs a little motivation, what does he do? He digs that metal miracle into the tenderloin of that horse. Woo! He doesn't goose the horse. He spurs the horse. Now, spurring is a good thing. What are we supposed to do? Spur one another on toward love and what? Good deeds. And don't give up meeting together, because that's the very place where this thing is encouraged, where you learn how to do it and you get motivated to do it. When we come together, worshiping God every Sunday morning ought to be something you look forward to. And when you can't come here because of snow, you just send your money in anyway. Hey, I wasn't born yesterday. Spur. Now, let me just say this to you. Spur is not the same word as spar. Some of you think you're spurring. You're not spurring. You're sparring. Spar. If you spar, the only thing you're guaranteed of is getting hurt. You're going to get hurt and somebody's going to hurt you. Sparring. What does sparring look like, David? I'm glad you asked. Sparring is the greatest demotivator on the planet, and here's how you do it. Nag. Oh, yeah. You want to send your husband to Charlie's bar? Nag, 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 nag. Be his mama. And by the way, ladies, we don't need another mother. We need a wife.
That's good, Dave. It really is good. I didn't hear my wife say anything negative, so I think I can go home this afternoon. I didn't marry my wife so she could mother me, nag me. My wife has been the most amazing inspiration to me. You know all the really dumb things I do she never calls attention to? She just does the opposite. I hate that. I hate that. You with me? My wife has never said, get off your fat butt and go work out. You know what she's done? Every single day. She's gone and worked out. So that when we were dancing last night, sinning, she looked good. There's some other women dancing. Not good. Not good. Ignore. You wanna spar? Ignore. Ignore me. Intimidate me with your words. The greatest way that you can, I gotta go. We gotta go. The greatest way, the number one greatest way to spar another person, to demotivate them, here it is. I'm giving this to you free. I hope you appreciate this. Here it is. Write this down. Compare them. You just want to cut to the chase. You don't have the emotional energy to nag. You don't have the time to wait. You just want to make somebody miserable. You want to destroy them. Just compare them. That's why this next series is so important, because it deals with that whole comparison thing. What are we supposed to do? Spur one another on to love and good deeds. So what do I need? I need you to model for me. And I need to model for you. Then there are some of us who will come closer than modeling, and we will become mentors with each other. You need a mentor. You need to be mentoring. The greatest spiritual, arguably the greatest spiritual movement in America of the last 60 years has been 12 steps. I don't know too many. There are people who argue that, but not many. It certainly is very, I mean, it's right. You know why? Remember, we're going to do the 12 steps this summer. 12 steps up from down. The 12 steps for real people. The genius of AA is not the 12 steps. I used to think it was. It's a pretty amazing habit, thing. We'll talk about that. You know what the genius of 12 steps is? Sponsorship. When you get out, you get a sponsor, and you sponsor someone else. Mentoring. Someone mentors you. You ask them. You enter into a mentoring relationship, and you mentor someone else because they ask you. It's really tough to go to someone and say, you want me to mentor you? I'll mentor you if you want to. I charge $50 an hour, but I'll mentor you. No. You ask someone to mentor you. You become attractive, so someone asks you to mentor them. You model, you mentor, you motivate, right? And when you do that, you will attract the kind of person you are. You will have around you the kind of support system. Somebody asked me the other day, as a pastor, and all you've been through in your life is being a pastor for 38 years, what's your conclusion? My conclusion is this. The Church of Jesus Christ, done right, is the most amazing thing in the world. Because when the chips are down, the church takes care of its own. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Yeah, are there weird people in the church? You bet. There are weird people who go to football, but I still like it. Did you watch the Grammys the other night? The House of Weird. But I still listen to music. Have you seen some of the people on country music today? Oh my gosh. Does their mother-in-law own a label? Now, don't even send me nothing. I know, but I've been here. You're a kiddie kidder. But I still listen. Amen. There are weird people in everything. But if it works, when the chips are down, that's when it'll work. And for me, every time I've been on the mats, the church has worked for me. What I mean is people have come beside me and loved me and picked me up and motivated me and cared for me and been generous for me and spoken into my life. You know what? It'll work for you too. The alternative is to do it alone. And if you do it alone much longer than you're doing it now, you will, write it down, and I'll say amen, you will die. You will die. A cautionary tale. You can be bitter, mad, and upset. And sometimes you are very justified. But people will love you and they will change your life if you let them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will capture the hearts of someone in this room who have been so damaged and so dried up for so long that they just don't have any desire, or the desire that they have has been deeply, deeply denied. I pray in Jesus' name that you will open up doors and windows for relationships to begin to be formed in the gathering and through the gathering all around this city and around the world. I pray for those who are listening right now through the live webcast in Texas and California, New Zealand, all over the place, places where we know people are listening. I pray in Jesus' name that even there, that these men and women will become models and mentors and motivators of greatness. I pray that these men and women would get out of this room, stand up, walk out of here with their heads held high, and regardless of their bank account or their employment status, and say, I am a child of God. I am loved as I am. I am a winner. God has a future for me bigger and better than anything that I've ever imagined or asked for myself. I go to claim it lockstep, hand in hand with my models and my mentors and my motivators, and no one will keep me from them. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Woo! Go get them.